talk this morning about the past, present, and future. Of course, God has been in control of the past. He is currently in control of the present, and he will undoubtedly be in charge of the future. The book of Ecclesiastes helps me understand that a lot more in the third chapter, verse 1. We'll be skipping a few verses down figure for the sake of time. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. To everything, there is a season, the time to every purpose under the heaven. The time to be born and the time to die. The time to plant and the time to pluck up that which is planted. The time to kill and the time to heal. The time to break down and the time to build up. The time to weep and the time to laugh. The time to mourn and the time to dance. The time to cast away stones and the time to gather stones together. The time to embrace, and the time to refrain from embracing. The time to get, and the time to lose. The time to keep, and the time to cast away. The time to rend, and the time to sow. The time to keep silent, and the time to speak. The time to love, and the time to hate. The time of war, and the time of peace. Verse 12. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Let's look, as this text describes to us, three different things I'd like to look at. As we look at the passage that we just read, God is in control of the time. He is in control of everything. He never has nor never will relinquish that authority. And let's look at the purpose. Purpose is told to us. It's told that God's in control of everything, from the creation, from the forming of all the world, speaking into existence, send his Son, Christ Jesus, into the world to redeem fallen man. Time to be born. None of us had that authority, or we didn't have the choice when we would be born. We didn't have a choice when we would be born. God is taking control of everything in your life and mine up to now. And now he wants us to submit ourselves to him for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to his name. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and let's look at the preeminence of Christ, because Christ is, remember, displayed in the scripture. It's all about him. In the beginning, God. God created. In Colossians chapter 1, 15, who is the image, talking about Christ, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities, by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. That in all things, in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you,
that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we see, excuse this one. Okay. Thank you. Cut this other one off. This sound trouble began last Sunday night. I was preaching. The microphone was dead, so we've been working on it. And bear with us as we get it going. I'll try to stay put here. We see that God has been and will always be in control of time. And if we would learn to submit ourselves to him for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to his name. You and I are saved. We're redeemed. We're headed home. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. But in this life, we meet people. People are lost. People are undone. God gives us a time and opportunity to witness to them, not just in word. A lot of people say, I can't be a witness. You don't have to be a great witness in word, but your life reflects. It's the purpose of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to him, that we would be reconciled unto him by the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus. And then our life should be about praise and honor and glory to him. We've seen the timing of God's program. I want to look right now and see at the past. Been through the 20th year of the, can't call it a celebration, but the memory of what happened 20 long years ago. 20, and the Bible speaks much about numbers. 20 is a number, and it's a cycle of completeness. In the Word of God, we see that the Bible says, all men, when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness because they disobeyed God, wouldn't trust God, God says, anyone 20 years old or older will not see the promised land. God uses that number 20, and as I was thinking about the number 20, we are embarked on this 20th because we have heard much, we remember much. Many of us remember where we were that day when we found out about the great bombing in the World Trade Center buildings. And then another thing about the number 20, remember, Jacob had been serving Laban, his father-in-law, for his two wives and for the flock that he had. But after 20 years, God says, leave and go back home, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. The number 20. And now we have approached and we have been with this. And remember the Ark of the Covenant? Because they wouldn't obey God. They took God for granted. And the Lord let the Ark of the Covenant rest with the Philistines 7 months. They couldn't handle it. And they didn't know what to do with the power of God. So they delivered it back. But it didn't go back to Israel as a whole. It went one particular family. Why? Because they were not in the center of God's will. They were not willing to submit their self for him. And for 20 years, that ark stayed with one family. God wouldn't let himself be with the people. And today, God has given us another opportunity to serve him. Let's go back in my mind to time zero, where I was. God's time is perfect. I don't know where you were that day. But it happened that God had spoken to me. He'd given me a charge and told me to go all 50 state capitals, 1995. And so I told him I would, and I had as much as I could, went to 40 of them in about 5 years. And I was kind of resting now because, okay, I've done 40. And I was in Salt Lake City, and God spoke to me and said, the time is of the essence. You're being slow. You're being draggy. Have you ever been draggy or slow about what God told you to do? And when he told me to do it, I agreed. I'll do it, Lord. I don't know how, but I'll do it. But then he spoke to me in the year 2001. In the springtime, and I was Salt Lake City, and said, you go home and pray, and I'll let you see and schedule for you to go to the next 8, all at one time, 8 state capitals and pray for a nation. Little did I know what was going to happen. But on September the 10th, on a Monday, Sandra and I had plane tickets. We flew to Kansas City, got a car, and really went to Missouri. And on the 11th, the day the great bombing was going to take place, the Lord had me be there at 7:15 in the morning. Of course, that's Central Time, and Eastern Time at 8:46. So I was there in the Capitol praying. That's God's timing. I had nothing to do with this. It's not me. It's just listening to God, obeying Him. I didn't know what was going on. So I stayed there and prayed and sought God. And while I was there, let me show you, I didn't know a thing that was going on. I found that out a couple hours later. But let me share with you some things that was going on in my mind. As I was there, I was reading some articles and inscriptions in the Rotunda Wall. Sounded real good. We're talking about Jefferson City, the capital of Missouri. One of the inscriptions on the Rotunda Wall was, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Praise the Lord, I'm getting excited. Capitals all over America have inscriptions, and even their Congress, about the Word of God. And then the second one I read was, "For there is no vision, the people perish." Wonderful. Number three, I read, "Righteousness exalteth a nation." We just read in the book of Ecclesiastes, let me go back and reread that again, verse 16, chapter 3. "And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there." It looked to me like, you know, righteousness is going to be exemplified, because right on the Rotunda Wall are these verses of Scripture, and there were many more I didn't take time to jot them all down. But I noticed something up on top of the Capitol that kind of bothered me a little bit. I started reading up on it. Now, this is a Jefferson City. I'm not throwing off. I'm just stating facts. And the Lord showed me to read what was going on up there. And on the top of the Capitol, there is a 10-foot-6-inch tall replica of the goddess, Roman goddess, and that particular goddess is Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. And it's the Roman goddess of agriculture. And they had dedicated that to the Roman god. It's 10 foot tall, 10 foot 6 inch, and it's 400 foot high above the Missouri River. Beautiful it is. And in one hand, the goddess is holding a sheaf of grain. And then the inscription down on the rotunda says, "As she is blessed," and she, goddess, is blessed in the farmland of Missouri. We just read, "Where is there no vision, the people perishes." We just read on the rotunda wall, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Righteousness exalteth the nation." And then a goddess, that she is blessed. "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And God said in Ecclesiastes, He'll judge the righteous. He'll judge the unrighteous. And then as I was praying and seeking God's face, I was puzzled about that. I didn't understand that, you know, here a state is, a nation is. And we exalt the Lord in word. And the thought came to me, yeah, we exalt Him in word, but He also wants to be exalted in deed. What we say and what we do make a big difference, not only to Him, but to others. And God will judge that. As I'm going back to the motel to get Sandra, because we're also going to Topeka, Kansas that day, my secretary called on the, I believe it was a bag phone in those days, and said, "Where you are?" And I was worried about me, and I don't usually tell anybody except Sandra where I am, what I'm doing, particularly if it's doing what God wants me to do. And so she thought I was on the plane, you know, and all the planes, wherever they were, I had to go to the nearest airport. I said, "No, no, we have a car. You're coming home, aren't you?" "No, God sent me to do 8 capitals, not just one." He knew the timing, so I found out what was going on. And then it was even more important. So we went on, and I'm getting somewhere, because sometimes we have an attitude like Elijah. Elijah said, you know, "Lord, I'm the only one serving you." Sometimes we have self-righteous attitudes and feelings. And sometimes we think, well, we're doing it right, but the world is doing it wrong. Lord, let me see on that trip that there's other people serving God and doing it God's way also. So we went to Topeka, Kansas on that same Tuesday, then on Wednesday, Lincoln, Nebraska. On the Thursday, Denver, Colorado, and Friday, what a day Friday was, Cheyenne, one of my favorite states, one of my favorite state capitals, and this is why. We got there about 11:30, didn't know what was going on, got there and got nice parking, walked in and praying and went to the governor's office. The governor was Jim Geringer. We didn't know him, he didn't know us, but he met us at the door of his office as he was meeting other people, gave us a pin with a flag of the United States of America, and told us that stick around 30 minutes from now, I've invited the whole city, anyone wants to come, and on the Capitol steps, I'm going to address the state and the nation. Wow. We stuck around, and for 15 or 20 minutes, he proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord. He proclaimed the sins of his state, his city, our nation, pretty much told us about what we just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, how God judges a nation. And then he said, where is the ACLU today? I bet they're in a den somewhere. He said, they would tell me, I don't have authority to stand on state capital property and proclaim God and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, the Constitution of the United States gives me that authority. And so now the so-called separation of the state, which is as phony as a $3 bill, that's not what the original intent was. It was to separate the government from trying to dominate and keep us from serving the Lord. But the Bible told us about that too. Men will call evil good and good evil. So he kept proclaiming. And then he prayed and closed the prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm impressed with this governor, Jim Carrington. And then I started talking to people around me, and I met a pastor. He said he didn't just start this yesterday or today. He said ever since he's been in office, he has a weekly prayer group and invites all the pastors in the city and the state that wants to come and join him. And he leads us in dedication as our state to the Lord and to prayer. Thank God for people like that. And then we went on from there to Denver, Colorado. I'm sorry, we went to Pierre, South Dakota, and then on the Sunday went to church, Mountain View Baptist Church. It's a beautiful location. Then the next day, Bismarck, North Dakota. Pretty much a repeat of what we heard and saw in Cheyenne. This governor, John Hoeven, talked about the sins of our nation, and if we would repent and turn to God, and God was giving us a wake-up call, we'd better take advantage of it. So as I'm going to these state capitals, God let me know afresh and anew that there's a lot of people out there still serving God, still praying for our nation. We're not the only one. And so the devil would say, you know, the nation's gone, going to hell, and it may be, but not everybody. There's still a lot of people serving God. And then St. Paul and back home. And the Lord was so good to us that trip. And it just refreshed me. In the middle of a catastrophe, in the middle of all that, I'm out there doing what God told me to do. And his timing was so perfect. Get me there just in time for that great speech, Cheyenne. Get me there just in time while I was there praying. It's amazing. And then 10 years later, 10's a big number too. 10, there's 10 generations before the flood. And the 10th day of the month was the Day of Atonement. And there was 10 plagues sent to Egypt. And God had 10 commandments. 10's a big number with God. So on the 10th anniversary of our great catastrophe, the bombing of the World Trade Center, And this particular time, 9/11 was on a Monday. God told me 2 days ahead of that, said, you go back to capital of Jefferson City, just like you were there 10 years ago. Be there at the same time and just go there to thank me for protecting America these 10 years. And of course I did that. And then we're now into the 20th year. And the number 20 I've already explained to you. It's an important number, and I don't know the future, but I do know God is in control of the future. Remember Elijah. He was one that was a lot like some of us. Oh, he's a great prophet, yes, greater than any of us. But at the same time, he was a man, and he was discouraged oftentimes. Remember, he said in Kings chapter 1 Kings 19, verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. He's up on top of a mountain. God had led him to the top of a mountain. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doeth thou here, Elijah? I wonder how many times God has spoken to you, and he sure has spoken to me. Just ask a simple question. What doeth thou here? We're in America. We have just commemorated the 20th day or the 20th year of that great tragic event. And the Lord's speaking to each one of us as he did Elijah. What are you doing? I'm soon coming. We've looked at the past. I want to look at the present. He asked the question, what are we doing? Because he's soon coming. And Elijah, of course, had to answer that question. And when God asks you a question, I have to have the questions presented to me by God. I must give an answer. Listen to what Elijah said. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel hath forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. But here's the catchy part. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He said, I've been very jealous. I've been doing the best I can. But I look at the nation. They've destroyed your altars. They're not worshiping you. And we could look at that and should look at that also, how our nation is turned from God, presently more every day turning from God. But the question was not asked him about the nation. It was asked him something personal. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm the only one left. Don't ever think, and the Lord let me know, that we're the only ones left. God's got a lot of people in a lot of places. But let's see what the Lord answered him when he had that pity party. Lord, if you give me some more help, I'd do a bigger job. That's no excuse. God has given us the opportunities we have. No matter who stands beside us or who doesn't stand beside us, we have the Lord our God interceding in our behalf. Listen to what God said after Elijah was given that pity party. And the Lord said to him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou cometh, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. He had him a threefold commission to do. You're up on top of a mountain, you're in the cave, you're hiding. You're hiding because you think Jezebel is going to kill you. And you think you're the only one serving me. But there's a lot of people I've got serving me. And it doesn't matter what others do or what they don't. I have chosen you. And God has chosen you. He's chosen me. God's timing is perfect. Many times in my life, I try to go back in my memory and jot down some of the times, many times, hundreds of times, where God's timing for me has been so perfect. And it is for you too. If you just go back and remember, this happened, that happened, what preceded it? God's perfect timing. So we've seen the past, we're looking at the present, but I want to look at the timing of the future. What about the future? No man knoweth the future, but let's go back and read Ecclesiastes one verse and see who holds the future in his hands. Verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous. There's a judgment day coming for you and for me when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, calls us home. That's your future. God's going to be the judge. And the wicked. For there is time, there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes is filled full of the word time. A time for everything. A time for every deed. Time for every transaction. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to hug. A time to embrace. A time not to embrace. And God's time in past tense has been perfect in my life. I haven't always followed. Just like he spoke to me and said, I gave you a job to do. There's 50 states. You've done 40. You're slacking. You're a slacker. And then he hit me a range the next day. I said, he hit me a range. It wasn't me. I wasn't smart enough to do that. And that's the beauty of it. I'm not smart enough to do anything. But God enables me. He enables you. Remember, Ecclesiastes told us what we already know. He is in control of my life. He wants to be in control of every aspect of my life. The planning. When I go somewhere, I sit down with the Lord for hours and hours. And you may not do this, but the way the Lord does me, time I leave in the morning, how long it's going to take, how many miles I'm going to drive, where I'm going to stop. Where am I going to stay? Where am I going to eat? All that pre-planned. Does it always work out? And that's because I don't always listen. See, when the Lord tells me something, if you're like me, you got your own preferences, don't you? If when he told me to go out of state capitals, I said, I will, but you know I don't like big cities. As far as I know, every state capital is a big city. And now I've been there, I know they are. But God says, I'll get you there, don't worry. So when he tells us something to do, we always look at the negatives. I'm talking, I do. And sometimes my preference, I let my preference override God's purpose in my life. And that never works out. But if I'm still and wait on God, let him speak the day I leave, the place I go, then God works it all out. He will in your life too. But we're talking about the future. We don't know when he's coming, but we do know he is soon coming. And he would ask every one of us afresh and new, what doeth thou? If he asked Elijah, the great prophet, what doeth thou? I'm sure he would ask you, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your resources? What are you doing about your prayer life? What are you doing about serving me and listen to me and let me plan your direction for you in your life? Don't be a slacker, he told me. And the Lord knows everything. And then after it all works out to his purpose, his glory, his praise, say, thank you, Lord. And it gives us encouragement that we need to listen more intently in the future. No man knows the day he's coming, but we know he's coming soon. Read the text in the Bible. It tells us in the last days, perilous times shall come. A time of judgment is coming. And all the wicked, everyone stand before God. We don't worry about what we can do to change the world. God's wanting to change my life. He's wanting to change your life. He's controlling the world, that we know. All powers, all principalities are ordained of him. So let's look to the future, because he is our future. God has controlled the past, certainly controlling the present. And if I really believe that and know that, then why am I so worried about what happens in Congress or anywhere else? I pray about it, but God purposes things. Try to figure it out, you never will. People say, why did God allow the World Trade Center to be bombed? Well, I know one thing, he could have stopped it. I know two things, he knew it was going to happen. And there's a lot of things that the Bible says in his timing. And you can do like a lot of people do and worry yourself to death about a lot of things you'll never figure out. Leave it up to God. He has control of the past, all things, present, all things, and the future. All he wants from your life and mine is for us to be under his subjection, to listen to his voice, and to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Would you stand, your heads bowed? Miss Brenda and Brother Ray come to organ. Miss Brenda at the piano. Song of invitation, then don't leave yet. We have a very interesting thing to do here just in a few minutes. But altar is open. God spoke to your heart. Worry, fret, anxiety, fear, it'll ruin your health. It'll ruin your walk with the Lord. He is in control. He speaks to your heart. Let him arrange your today and your future. You say, well, I've tried it. Don't pan out. Well, then it's because we've let our preferences override his preferences. Because when he tells us something and we're obedient to that, it will work out to his praise, honor, and glory. Gives us more honor to him, which all blessings flow. Altar's open. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time together, for the songs we've heard, for the blessings you've given us, how you have kept us safe from another tragedy like the World Trade Center bombing. I know there's people hurt and all those people got killed in Afghanistan. All those things going on, I don't understand it. But I do know you're in control. All principalities ordained of you. All powers. So let me hear your voice and be obedient to it. You want to speak. And you will speak if we're willing to hear and obey what you tell us to do. Forgive us when we fail you. Thank you, Father, for this time together, for our nation. Lord, help us be more like you. Forgive our sins. Forgive our backsliding. Give us people, Father, in office that will serve you and look to you and none other. You're bringing all things in judgment. You'll take care of that. We have to answer to you individually. Let us do that. In the name of Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving.